from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's here to do his best to keep you company and drift off. Really, that's what I'm here for, is for you. And while the podcast doesn't work for everybody, I can't speak clearly all of the time. I hope my intentions are clear. I'm here to help you if I can. And it's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a few of the ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. It's my biggest goal, is to have the podcast out on a regular basis and free for everybody, not behind a paywall. So thanks to everybody that supports our sponsors. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Pill Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the show I need you to hear because the people that support the sponsors help keep this podcast free for everybody. And we're celebrating everybody that's taken action to keep the show free for everybody with a time capsule. And so if you've supported a sponsor or spread the word about the show, you're not a patron, but, you know, you've supported the show financially in some way, you've gone out of your way to support the show in any way at all, you can get your first name or your nickname in the time capsule. We're going to put a scroll in there. It's going to be really fun. But I definitely am always looking for people that have supported sponsors. It just helps the sponsors know it's valuable to support Sleep With Me. So whether you supported our new sponsors, Mint Mobile, you got your wireless plan through them, you checked out Four Sigmatic, and you've made the amazing cacao or the coffee as part of your morning, your bedtime routine. I hope one or the other, right? Or you've supported one of our longtime sponsors like Casper, Brooklyn, and Sleep Phones. Any of our other sponsors, I want you to let me know about it. It's always huge to let me know and tag the sponsor. But if you want to get in on the time capsule, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. There'll be a link there. And you could go there too, even if you've, you know, if you spread the word or somebody you supported the show, you feel like you supported the show in any way, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors between now and October 31st to get your first name or your nickname in the time capsule on a scroll to celebrate the episode making it past 800 episodes in 6 years, because I couldn't have done it without all of you. So you're all a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, and that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. Tag me there. If you a huge way to help the show, one listener initiative, let me know about it online too. Just helps one person find how to use a podcast, how to listen, how to download a podcast app, or how to subscribe to Sleep With Me or another podcast. We really grow one listener at a time, you know, because the podcast doesn't work for everybody. It probably takes 4,000 listeners to get that special person that shares your great taste to sleep to some serious nonsense. So whether it's online or in person, if it comes up, podcasts or sleep, let them know about the podcast. It'd be a huge, huge help to me, and hopefully it makes them happy too. So yeah, that's it. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature. So things you're thinking about, past, present, or future. Anything you're feeling physically or emotionally or experiencing. Or, you know, outside stuff. Could be the weather outside. You know, here's the thing. Here's a conundrum. It's whether the weather outside is FRI, like delightful or for not delightful, but the other word, full. It's neither way, it's easy to sleep. Can you remember when you were a kid? I don't know why some memories are so ingrained and actually also pretty fairly, not totally universal. No, you know, nothing's universal, but maybe relatable. And even this is so detached from the present moment, but when you have to go to sleep when it's still sunny outside or it's still light outside when you're a kid and it's the summertime. Now, it is the summertime for all of our friends south of the equator, which is a lot of you. So what up? You guys are the top of the earth. You guys are the top of the earth for me. You're the summertime. It's summer there, and I'm glad. What was I saying? I'm supposed to be introducing the podcast, so maybe we'll come back to this. But whatever's keeping you awake, it could be someone not getting to the point. But it could be travel. It could be work. Whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off of that and keep you company and help you fall asleep, ideally. And the way I'm going to do it is I got a safe place set aside here. Really nice. It's actually seasonably safe, a place. A safe place that's so seasonable. Is seasonable a word? I think it is, but why can't I say that? Also, I guess most words are multi-use words, but do you say, like, this dish is seasonable? What if you said that about butter? Because there's salted butter and unsalted butter, right? And seasonable, sometimes salt is considered a season. I don't know. Are those two? I think those two words are spelled the same, too. But maybe that would be a, maybe, you know, we haven't written a butter-based musical, but I don't know why. We haven't written any musicals, but we've imagined we did or do. Can you imagine a butter-based musical? I definitely can. I mean, there was a great, I read the screenplay, which I think won the Nichols Fellowship one year. Then it became a movie, Butter. I think that was the name of the screenplay. You know, all that escapes me, but you could check out the Nichols Fellowship to see more about that. I remember really enjoying reading that. That was about butter sculptures, but let me pause so I can give credit to the writer. Yeah, okay, the writer is Jason Mikhaeff, I think Mikhaeff, and it won the Nichols Academy Nichols Fellowship in 2008. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. I was trying to introduce a podcast and. Then I pictured of what are those? It's not a pat of butter, but a stick of butter singing something about being seasonable. That would be unsalted butter, of course. Well, no, because unsalted butter is seasonable. And salted butter, technically, in this case, would be seasoned. And then you have I'm a seasoned bedtime storyteller. Sure doesn't seem like it, probably, if you're a new listener. But yeah, I have a safe place set aside. That's what I was saying. Where it's seasonably temperate and, you know, comfortable. That's what I mean. You say, well, I prefer it cooler. Oh, boy, do we have it cooler. I prefer it a bit warmer. Holy cow, we got a spot for you. Do we have a place for you? Scoots, I don't care about the temperature. Okay, well, yeah, don't worry. We got that covered. You like it like that Bikram yoga stuff? Got that covered, too. Get ready for your pores to open up. I have a safe place set aside. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. Believe me, holy cow. I mean, you just witnessed a few of them. Mispronounced words or something. I don't know what exactly we call that. Word stumbles. That's right. That's what I call it usually. other people use like stuttering, which is another way to describe it, but it actually is like me stumbling over my words, like, because there's a forward momentum when I'm speaking, and then I'm propelled past the meaning and pronunciation of the words, and so I stumble forward, and then the words also spill out of my mouth, or, you know, my hands, my arms, my buckets. Okay, so I'm going to send my words across the deep dark, and I go off topic. Really, I'm here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. So if you're new, a couple other things. One, if you're wondering what the heck is going on, or why am I not, you know, any kind of skepticism or resistance, that totally makes sense, because this is a podcast, doesn't work for everybody. It's very different. And I understand, like, when you can't sleep, you know, there's a lot of solutions out there. I'm more like a boar friend, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your boar bae. You know, those are titles I would have to earn from you. So just kind of see how it goes and see if the podcast works for you. Structurally, what to expect, which is already the unexpected. I mean, correct. And ideally, maybe I'll explain that too in another tangent. But so structurally, what to expect is like the show starts off with a few minutes of business, because I want to keep the podcast free for everybody. So our sponsors and our patrons enable us to do that without having to be like its own paywalled app or something. Then there's an intro, which the intro is your first deviation from the norm, because it's like 12 to 20 minutes of me trying to explain what the podcast is. And it's deviating from the expected, because usually an intro is like very concise. But this intro is long and rambly. One, because I want it to be friendly, but two, because I want you to have plenty of safe space to drift off, to get ready for bed, to ease into bedtime, to realize you don't have to pay attention to me, but you can. You shouldn't have to listen to this podcast, but you could. You could try to make sense of it, but it might, you know, those kind of things. That the podcast is here for you to kind of pay attention to it, like a lava lamp or something. You say, "Wow, look over there; it's pretty cool to look at." But now I'm going to look at something else. Oh, let me look at that thing. Interesting. So I don't know if that makes any sense. So there's an intro. It's part of people's bedtime routine. You can skip it if you just go to 18 to 20 minutes. But just kind of see how it goes the first few times listening to the show. Then there's some business, again, that keeps the podcast free for everybody. Then there's story. Then there's thank yous at the end of the show. Tonight, the story portion will be me kind of recapping some episodes of The Good Place, but in a very inane and indirect way, where you say, like, just recently someone was like, "Oh, I thought you were talking about season 2. And then I found out you were talking about season 3. And they said, "And I guess it didn't even matter." And I said, perfection. That's great. Or some people say, "Well, is there spoilers?" And you say, "Well, kind of, but kind of barely." Like, not the kind of spoiler, you like vague spoilers where you may say, "Huh, I do remember, Michael wearing that was business casual. Holy, was there a deeper meaning to that or not?" So that'll be our coverage of The Good Place. So that's the structure of the show. This is a podcast that kind of, as I said, you don't need to listen to it, but you can. Ideally, it's here to be here as you fall asleep, but there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are over an hour is so you have plenty of time to drift off. And if you can't sleep, oh, that's the other thing. Like, there are listeners that listen just for the companionship. So, because I've been lonely in the deep dark night, and I'm here to keep you company to the very end if you can't sleep. But that doesn't mean you have to listen to me either, right? So the idea, that's kind of, if you're new, that's the idea of the show. I'm glad you're here. If you're a regular listener, of course, I'm glad you're back. And I think that's it. I mean, I was trying to figure out that's seasonable. I mean, that's definitely a word, because I can hear a weather person or a meteorologist saying, "Today will be seasonably," you know, or they'll say unseasonably warm. unseasonably cool, seasonably, but I don't, you know, they say, oh boy, is that a, what are things that, like, I don't like ranking things, but, so this would be like not ranking in a specific way, but like, what are things that are very seasonable? I mean, for consumption, I'd say rice, like chicken's always one that gets, but even fish is seasonable. Though sometimes like really good fish, you say it just does just fine on its own. But rice, I would say beans, you'd almost say, is it seasonable if it needs it's kind of without seasoning? Cause I'd say rice and beans are good. But yeah, they're seasonable. They seem like they readily accept seasoned. Maybe that could be the Zen way, the seasonable way. Well, what happened to Scooter? He had that sleep podcast. Then he had that attempt to be a guru that didn't work out. Then he made the podcast about, scribbling. Right. Then he tried another guru thing where he made a guide, then he had where he was trying to write the romamphlets, the pamphlets, romantic pamphlets. Then he had the seasonable way. It was the Zen, he didn't know what Zen was exactly. He just had a vague idea of Zenness. And he sat with that in peace. No, there's a joke there. But so he tried to write form something based on being like a rice and beans and readily accept, but there was only like one or two metaphors in there. So that didn't work out either, because the metaphors were be accepting, be open, and let the outside things enrich you sometimes. Blandness has its benefits sometimes, but not all. So I can't remember. It did well with the Scooter, because he said this actually helps me. When I get up, where it went wrong was like he tried to get a incantation where it's like be like beans, and he that was like the big pitch thing is he had hundreds of thousands of people around the world when he was going to introduce his program, and once he said be like beans, everybody just started. They thought it was he didn't realize, you know, sometimes he's really funny and doesn't even realize it, and that became a big meme, because be like beans is just you don't even know why you're laughing necessarily, because you say, well, does it have to do with the gas of the beans or just the ridiculousness of centering yourself and imagining you are a bean? Or is there some sort of absurdist thing, because it's actually like being like a bean is a bit like being like a seed? Or does Scooter get his seeds and beans mixed up? I think that, you know what? I slept great last night, honey. I don't know what Scooter was talking about. Did you hear any of that? Oh, you know what, dear? I thought he was talking about sweater vests on Chidi. Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe I just must have been a dream then. So that's ideally the breakfast conversation of a regular couple of listeners. And if you're new, give the podcast a few tries. See if it works for you. No pressure, though, for it to. I just hope it does, because I truly believe you just deserve a good night's sleep. If it doesn't, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. And that's it. I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12. 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about The Good Place. We're going to be talking about season four, episode three, and then later we'll probably be talking about episode four. And it's just so you know that I can keep the episodes. Last year we had Good Place to Sleep come out every single week. And I took the listener feedback, you know, that said, hey, I prefer it every third episode. So I'm going to spread it out every third episode just because I got the feedback I got. It was like, hey, I know I don't watch The Good Place. There's some people, you know, pick and choose their episodes. Some people listen to every episode. And it really is about the balance of keeping, you know, making sure I can make the podcast work. It can't work for everybody, right? But I can tweak it in ways that works for most people. And I've been doing it for a while. Also, I know you maybe not listen to this if you're a TNG fan. But yeah, we're kind of flip-flopping back and forth with TNG. I know, like, the TNG episodes just get, like, the Good Place episodes get actually a lot more listens than our normal episodes. So, hey, Good Place fans. And then our TNG episodes get, like, less listens than the majority of our episodes. And that's not really the main reason why I'm spreading them out. It's just because I'm trying to keep with these seasonality of these shows. But if you are a TNG super fan, let me know, because I think I'm going to put the unreleased episodes out as an all-night episode for patrons at $10 and up a month. And I'll probably do that in October or early November. So if you're a TNG super fan, even if you like, you know, like, I'm not trying to, like, get anything out of you, but, like, you could actually just join for a month and then download that and then take off, too. You know, or you could support the podcast that puts you to sleep. But I will, yeah, I guess because I'm saying that, I will do that. So it'll be all of the recent TNG episodes and then the unreleased ones that'll come out probably over, like, between the when Good Place is on break, probably. Because I'm also looking at another new show that's going to be launched in November. And I'm thinking about doing that it would be the something, something Borean. So we'll see about that too. The man that's a boring you know, that'll be probably the name of the episode. So anyway, let's get to The Good Place. So am I right or am I right? Like, cause hopefully you're in bed. And maybe you're relaxing, maybe you're chillaxing. That's the title of tonight's episode of The Good Place. And I have to hit play on it here so I can follow along and mute it. And it opens with this happy couple picnicking, which I want to watch again with you here. Okay, oh boy. Actually, there's two shots. There's a wide, a really wide shot of the town square type area. And this is good to pause. We got infinite light, your anticipated needs. And I guess these are the Janet babies. And they're kind of, I guess they are, this would be interesting to hear the production. Like, I can't, as much as I'd love to listen to the official Good Place podcast in season, I just can't do it because I'm afraid it'll, you know, it'll throw me off. And that's actually what happened with GOT is I did let myself listen to those GOT, some of the, not the official podcasts, but a lot of GOT podcasts in season. And it did impact my viewpoint of the show. But so on the wide shot, there's a lot of Janet babies walking around. What I was wondering is if after they talk about the production or whatever, if these will be like almost like they're moving like Sims or something. Because certainly here at 5 seconds into the episode on pause, it looks like that. Then they go to a small, shorter shot like of a man and a woman with picnic basket. Let me see it again. Yeah, sorry, rewind. Let's see. There's the, yeah, they have what looks like a canvas picnic basket and a basket of flowers. And they're engrossed in conversation. Then we see Michael and, my mind just went blank. Holy moly. Eleanor, they're drinking from coffee cups. They're at a cafe table. There's a small flower centerpiece as they're chatting. It's on mute, so I get to it. Michael has a sky blue pocket square with polka dots. I don't know, is that a cardigan Eleanor's wearing? Michael's laughing. Now Eleanor's kind of laughing and thinking. Michael has kind of a gray suit on, a darker blue tie, and a checkered shirt. I think that's a checked shirt. I don't know, what do you call it? I think his suit is also checked. Oh boy, so Chidi rolls up, but Chidi must have a squad, because as I'm watching Chidi roll up happy, I see in the background, if you pause it, someone else that has a stack of, what is it called, discs for frisbee golf. Kanish from a Rose is where Chidi's walking in front of. He's got a, what are those kind of shirts called? I have this shirt, which I'll talk about when I go through my notes. What are they called? Weave shirts? So the kind you wear in the summer. Tweed, something like that. I can't remember what they're called. But they're good. Oh, no, I almost remembered it, and now I forgot it again. They're good because they can always be wrinkled, and it looks good on Chidi. I bought the same shirt, like, this summer to wear to something, and then I said, I'm not feeling it. But now that Chidi's got it on, maybe I'll be feeling it again. Chidi has a picnic basket as well. Now he's walking off. Michael's patting things. Now they're in the office. So let's go to the notes. Okay, happy couple with picnic basket. Eleanor and Michael. Eleanor had her Stan Smiths on. They use terminology off and running. Brent the asshole. Oh, and then Eleanor talks about Chidi had action figures of philosophers, a near mint Arthur Schopenhauer. I love him so much. Chidi can do it. This is kind of what Michael says. It's so great and kind of sad. What else? What the fork? And then that's when Chidi walks up super happy. Then I have the same shirt, ! He also has a hat on. Not sure if that's what those hats that boy bands wear. What are those called again? Fedoras. And what does that say? I don't know, but he's going to play frisbee golf. Brent, he's in it for the long haul. He said, you got a B- in moral values at Princeton. Did I tell you I went to Princeton? Chidi's frisbee or disc is blue. Brent decided he should be the professor. Then I think Eleanor says, isn't it Kant? Wouldn't Kant say you have a duty to help? And Chidi says, not when the weather's like this. Who's up for frisbee golf? He makes this kind of wild, happy laugh. I also couldn't tell if he had no socks on or ankle socks, either one of which doesn't seem on point for him. Then there's also a person with a basket of fruit in the background. Chidi also brags to his squad about his joke about whatever. I forget when the weather's this good. You know, whatever, this is what I'd say to Kant or whatever. Then we're back at the office. I'll go through my notes now. Never seen Chidi like this. Michael goes, he was chillaxing. I just invented that word. Chidi and relaxing combined. This because he's not being stressed. Stress decision making's where he's, we got to put sand in the old clam to make a pearl. Michael just says oyster, Eleanor. And then he needs to be in a world of low grade dread. And I said, low grade dread. I'm in a world of dread usually. I mean, that's just kind of how my lower operating system works. And Eleanor says, I can do that. I used to put, you know, we could put wet cat food in his guitar. Then it opens, chapter 42. So let's see if I missed anything here. Michael's talking to Eleanor. Eleanor's saying, you know, she's on her hands on her desk. Michael's looking. Yeah, maybe we got to stress him out more. So this is just an office scene. Let's go. So then Tahani's at a cafe. She's using an air screen. On her table at the cafe is like grapes, wine, brie, you know, that kind of stuff you'd have at a cafe, like a French-style one. Janet appears, she's dyed her hair with pink streaks, because she said that's what some of the things people do when they break up. Also watched Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which is kind of the same as the first. And Tahani says, why, and then there's all these, did I mention this on another episode, all these make some art signs? I don't know if there's just hidden there for, but there's a big banner behind Tahani when it opens. And those appear in the other, some of the other scenes and different things. Well, Mamma Mia is just, kind of, here we go again, it's kind of the same as the first. Diving back into work, we got to help John. We'll do it with a spa day. They kind of come up with that plan. Cracked the code 2014. John, she says John wrote 11 articles about Gigi Hadid's vacation. And then he looked up something called a discount vacation package. Oh, whoa, I just didn't see this. You could pause it. John's website is gossiptoilet.com. How did I miss that? He actually makes a joke about it later. Here's his things. Eat, pray, barf. Gigi's shishi retreat treat. I've hadided up to here. Oh, no, she hadidn't. Gigi burns Bali wedding by being there. Ruins, maybe. Ain't nothing but a G-string. Gigi bears it all on Balinese religious holiday and Bali legal. So that was lucky. That was that I didn't freeze it when my other watch through. There's something called, I think we probably figured it out, Ponzu something. I can't remember what it is. That's another restaurant or something in the background. Let's see, discount vacation package, she says, what is this, Ponzu? I got question marks, exclusive, she says, so the rich and powerful are going to welcome him to exclusive world, she says, Ponzu something, me, celeb gossip, open his pores, then his heart, exfoliate the dead skin cells of envy, and detoxify his soul. This is kind of their talk back and forth, which is good writing. That was Janet, the second two. Spa day, John's excited for spa day. He dances, kind of. He says, you know, this is paradise, but I still need this. And she goes, yeah, I got a recreation of Victoria Beckham's posh wash. John calls it the posh wash, I think. Then we have Jason kind of staring at a fountain, and Michael and, let me see a couple more things. Jason staring at a fountain. We need your help, they say to him, Eleanor and Michael. He says, okay, hand me the jar. So there's a back and forth about that. metaphorical jar. Yeah. Then we're at the spa. Back at the spa, they're drinking fresh water from Oprah's Hawaiian something and mushrooms from her bog in a different place. I think her bog was in the Midwest. No, I think her bog was in Italy or something. And her water's from Hawaii. Can't believe we missed out on this. So good. Bye to FOMO. And then John says, the only thing that can make it better, this better, was some hot goss, like hot gossip. So Tahani tells a story about Robbie Williams, Heidi Klum, and the remaining members of Fifth Harmony at the Dolce & Gabbana Spring Show. And John says, hate him, loathe her, over them, cancel it. And then I think they skip it, and then they come back, and he says, wait, Natalie Portman really does do Scarlett Johansson stunts. And then Tahani pitches him on getting an inner glow through the study of ethics, and he goes, no, you stay crazy, girl, which was funny. Then we go to Chidi's apartment, which looks like it's above, because there was an exterior shot. And then it looks like it was above yogurt, yogurt, yogurt. So I don't know if his apartment is above there. His fedora is parked on a table. He talks about how at the picnic there was helpful, cute aunts. Eleanor and Michael are there. And Eleanor says, just wait for the otter turndown service. And they say, geez, we need, Gianu needs some help. Can you take him into your study group? And I think Chidi says fun, and they say he's having a hard time adjusting, and obviously you have to help no matter what. And he says, I swear I'll treat him as if he was my own brother. And Eleanor says, geez, a promise from a strict Kantian is ironclad. Goodbye. So they introduce him, and then he goes, yo, my name's, this flashback to season one, he goes, yo, my name's Jason Mendoza. You got to get me out of here, homie. I'm a little bit concerned. Then there's an ad break. Then they're back. They go to Jason. Then it's like flash forward. Jason has his butthole in Jason in Chidi's library. He says, "Dude." And then you know Chidi has a stomach ache. He goes, "Listen, man, no more meatball subs and any of this other stuff." There's a knock knock at the door, and he says, hey, Eleanor and Michael, and they say, hey, how's it going? He goes, and they go, you know, things going in there? He goes, yeah, of course, it's going great. It's not like a monk would do anything like shotgun cheese whiz. And yeah, and he says, can you take him to the luau? He goes, I can't make it. And they go, really? And he goes, I can. Also, Eleanor and Michael match in this scene. She has a golden sweater. He has a golden tie, or like a mustard gold. What does that say? Wave. No, luau. It looks like wave in my handwriting, but it's luau. There's some dancing, and it's going good. Tahani's like, geez, the progress with John is, it's not going, we're not getting any progress, you know, and my hair might be too shiny and lustrous from all these, spa days. She's telling this to Janet. Janet's thoughtful. She says, every time I bring up ethics, he shuts me down. And Janet says, he was hardly a shrinking violet. Why don't you be direct with him? And she's like, Tahani says, you're right. I shall go on the offense. Just like six of the eight Game of Thrones characters based on me. And I think Janet says, yeah. Then Eleanor and Jason, you're talking about it. And Jason says, all I got to do is be myself, man. And, he causes... Chidi some stomach aches. They really have nice luau wear too. I mean, between the prints and the flowers and the really well done. And then even Jason says, maybe you need to ease off on him. And Eleanor says, well, how many tums has he had? 20. And she goes, no, that's not enough. And we got to make him more miserable. He's Superman with a stomach ache. Then Tahani goes to John. He says, hey, girl, how about that Little Mermaid spa treatment later? And then she says, perhaps I'd like to bend your ear about some serious stuff. And she says, geez, all the stuff you wrote about me was kind of mean. And he goes, what is this, a fake friendship? And she goes, you have a chance to be a better person here. And John gives her a reality check. He goes, listen, I lived in the real world. I had to work like 16 hours a day to build something. And then he says, spot, you got it, or something. And then he makes a flush, which I guess was like, makes sense now that I know the name of his blog. You spot it, you got it, or something. Then Eleanor does a welcome for the, what is that thing called? Luau. She goes, we got an exciting activity, magic, lava stone, whatever your heart or your soul most desires will come to be. And Matilda gets her childhood pet, Shell Turtlestein. Then Jason's ready to go. Chidi tries to hold him back. He goes, geez, I want my old motorcycle with Pamela Anderson airbrushed on the side. Then he throws it, Chidi's like a monk that likes motorcycles, with the face, and he goes, it wasn't her face, and then Jason throws his stone, and Chidi says, oh, he threw it for me, but first Michael goes, an sexually explicit motorcycle. And someone says, yay, I think, oh, Chidi does, like a fake yay. He goes, oh, it's mine. I love motorcycles and Canadian TV actress Pamela Anderson. And he goes, I'll just drive this off. And then he has to slowly walk it off. Then Eleanor and Michael are in the office. They call the magic ants to bring champagne. Eleanor does. And Michael says, I think we did enough. Eleanor says, we can't stop. Now Chidi comes in. He says, can we talk? The ants are about to come in with the champagne. Michael goes, not now. Then the commercial. And then Chidi says, geez, I spent my whole life on earth not knowing what to do. And he's very torn. Michael says, Chidi, sometimes, or maybe Eleanor says this, adversity leads to growth. And on the other side, you're better for it. And he goes, I know morality and moral dilemmas are my jam, but this feels like I'm being punished somehow. Really mature. I mean, this writing is just so mature. I don't know what other words are deep, but deep in a, I don't know. You know what I mean, if you're a fan of A Good Place. He goes, I know it's silly, but I'm worried I did something wrong. And then Eleanor tears up. And she goes, I made God cry. He says, stomach ache. Welcome back, old friend. Then Tahani and Janet. Tahani's very mad about her conflict with John. I mean, he's the person who started a Twitter feud with Jacob Tremblay, somebody. And he thinks I have issues. I mean, the only person I can think of is like that one of those cute child actors or somebody. It's got to be somebody super nice or something. Let's see, even more direct, I don't like the ways he's treating you. That's what Janet says. I don't appreciate it. He's jealous and miserable with no real friends. And then we think the light bulb goes off for Tahani there. Then Eleanor's crying. She says, it's all my fault. I promised I would take care of you. And I say, don't worry. We'll deal, Michael says, just don't worry, Chidi, we'll just eliminate any problems. Tell me what the problem is, real all or nothing situation. He goes, I'll eliminate the problem. You tell me what it is and you can go back to your perfect life, because it's Jason. And then he goes, oh, it's a motorcycle. So Michael gets rid of the motorcycle, which Jason was looking at. He says, not again. And then Michael says, problem solved, or Chidi does. Then Tahani and John, Tahani goes up to John because she realizes, oh, we were both miserable and alone. And John goes, round two, let's do this. And Tahani says, in 2007, Blake Lively had a party for Leo DiCaprio on Paul Allen's mega yacht. Only the 100 most famous oligarchs or something powerful, the best of the best could go. Even on that ship that only 100 people could go, there was a VIP deck that was more restrictive. And then on the VIP deck was a VIP room where you needed a secret pin to get into. And she goes, I put in the pin and it went there and I was the only person there. And John, just like he was reviewing this podcast, said, that's a riveting story. Could you make it longer and sadder? And this was so tasty. She goes, the point, Tahani says, the point is, if all you care about is the velvet rope, you'll always be unhappy no matter what side you're on. And she goes, we're kind of proof of that, both of us. And then she says, I can start over. Can we start over? And then John says, I want to say something. And he gives a heartfelt apology because she's, I'm really sorry. What I wrote, what I tweeted, the playbill at Wicked that I sent to you anonymously. And she goes, well, my bangs did make my ears look chunky. So, and then she goes, do you want to go for a walk? So they go off, kind of sweet. Then we see Jason playing Rock Band guitar. And Chidi says, new plan, we're going to study ethics. And then he's like, good, man, you rule. You're the Pamela Anderson of motorcycle philosophy. And he goes, well, she's sorry about your motorcycle going bye-bye. And Jason says, that's just what motorcycles do. Then we're back at the office, and Soul Squad minus Chidi's there. So, okay, so Chidi said, how are you doing, Eleanor? Or first it's just Eleanor and Michael. She says, that's still terrible. You know, I kind of liked Chidi because I was mad at him, you know, for forgetting me, you know, sacrificing your relationship to save humanity. And Michael says, geez, well, okay, that kind of makes sense, but I just don't totally have a grip on human emotional spectrum. You know, you're happy when you should be sad, you're angry when you should be happy, you're tweeting when you should be driving or texting. And he goes, listen, Eleanor, let yourself off the hook. You know, you're mad. He goes, get your shirt together. Then Tahani and Jason come in. Tahani says, I win. Massive progress with John. Let's see. They say, okay, well, we're glad you were able to connect. They kind of talk about getting Jason. They say, bravo, Jason. He goes, it felt good to be brainy and have useness or something. I said, the great use of the word useness. And then they can, Eleanor says, geez, all four of these mofos are on the right path. What's next? And then we cut to a train track and there's a mystery guest coming in a cloak and a self-propelled train car. Just in time for the next episode, which we'll talk about right in just a second. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here talking about season 4, episode 5, episode 4. You're right, Brain, correct. Tinker Tailor Zivon Spy, or I could say something else. And the episode opens, it says, I think Eleanor says 30 seconds left. They're playing a game like Pictionary or Drawful, I think is what it's called when you play it on Jackbox. Probably wrong about that. Tahani's drawing, Jason's guessing. John's guessing. They're the yellow team. And they have retro t-shirts as a team t-shirt. They have v-neck collars with arm stripes and they're yellow. And it says John, Tahani, and Jianyu. That's their team. It's a butterfly that she's drawing. It's Mariah Carey's back butterfly tattoo, John figures out. Then it lands on Jason, who's very amused. I just happened to pause it when he was looking at the butterfly. Tahani's in like a robe, which I said, well, that looks comfy. Like, especially because they're out, it's the evening, they're out playing outside. Totally sensible. And of course, when she rocks it, she's rocking in a chillaxing kind of way. But I found it very, I don't know, I noticed it, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know how else to say it. So anyway, sorry, Scoots, I'm not following. Are you saying that you found that? And I say, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just in a subtle way, I said, I mean, there's been it just kind of seemed very human to me. I said, regular Tahani, no, you know, oh, she's a man. Oh, it's just a character on a show. Okay, thanks. Anyway, so back to the story. John did his college thesis on that back tattoo. And then Eleanor kind of says, every picture has something to do with your life on Earth. It's kind of like an icebreaker, so everybody knows how to get to know one another. Chidi's up next. They're on the Brent team. Chidi, Brent, and Simone. Brent calls him Chippy. What does that say? Chippy, you're up. Maybe that says, I don't know. And then we see, like, there's, if you really watch, there's chips, there's wine, there's popcorn. Then Chidi says something like, how to start. Brent really goes off the rails, and Simone says, oh, God, no. 30 seconds, Chidi. Simone says, is that a submarine? And Brent says, is it broccoli with teeth? And then they start to get it. It's a horse with a bow on its neck. And Simone says, it's my childhood pony, Daisy. Then Daisy comes to life, just like the butterfly did. But Chidi's drawn it in a very childlike way, like better than I would have, I'll tell you that. But say, oh, no, Daisy. Chidi says, what have I done? Brent says, you made a friggin' Frankenstein, my man. Magic Pictionary over. Jason actually gets touched by the horse tongue. And they say, I think the owner says, all right, everybody go home to sleep. So I think that it's playing in the background, but I think that covers it. Chapter 43. Then we're at Mindy's Fork Me. We should have cut Brent off. Janet says nobody gets cut off. And then they kind of talk about, like, since last episode, they've been ice cold. But thing like past 3 weeks or something, but they're getting better. Brent stopped saying daddy-like. Not, oh, when you push that kid on the swing, that was very daddy-like. More like daddy no likey, like he said about golf. Eleanor says something feels off. Eleanor says something feels off. They say, okay, all right, let's brainstorm. Let's stay up all night. We'll work on this. And Michael says, no, we need a break. Let's have a slumber party. And then a magic computer screen comes up. It says, under unknown train arriving. So they go to the station. Oh, also, I just noticed, there's like a lot of good throw blankets on the sofas. That's the kind of thing you'd expect in The Good Place. A sofa with plenty of throw blankets, or whatever they're called. Oh, there's pizza boxes, too, during Pictionary. Okay, slumber party, unknown train arriving. They go to the station. There's someone in a cloak. They say, show yourself. It's Glenn. He kind of looked like a Java from Star Wars, or Jawa. Yeah, I guess they're Jawas, not Javas. They say, what do you want, crepe? He says, I'd like to speak to Eleanor alone. Eleanor says, no way, dude. Tell us all. He says, I don't think you should. And they say, yeah, just tell us. He goes, that's not Michael. It's a Vicky in a Michael suit. They go back to Mindy's. Glenn wants a hot glass of something that's not tea, but it rhymes with tea. Michael and Eleanor. Oh, Michael has a pink pocket, a square. Michael says, you know, believe me, he's lying. And Ellis says, calm down, I trust you. But we got to make him think that I don't trust you. Michael says, I like the way you think, Shellstrop. Then he plays it up a little bit. And Glenn says, why don't you just call the judge? So this is a complicated situation to resolve because there's no clear solution. Because they can't start the judge because everybody get rebooted and they'd start over. Jason makes a great joke. Eleanor throws him a caramel at that point. Then they say, well, why would you help us? He says, I don't know. He goes, I don't know if I believe that there's no such thing as redemption. And Sean is really mean, which Jason can kind of relate to. So then they say, what's the bad place plan then? He says, so chaos. That's what the suit is for. And he goes, I helped make the suit. Then they show a scene in the bad place of the suit, Vicky testing the suit out, and she zips it up. They explain that whatever the way the suit was made, they have to wear it over their suit, human suit, over their demon essence or whatever. Vicky at Michael dances, says, this is pretty well made. It's, you know, I can feel the musty and the dangly. Sean likes it. He says, oh, I even like the voice or in a way I don't like it. Kind of like people that review this podcast sometimes. Glenn has doubts. He says, call the real Michael. Then they go back. They say, Michael first says he lies. They say, we know you're lying. Glenn says, why don't you just check the phone records? So then they say, Michael says, well, actually, they did call me. And they say, why'd you lie to us? Then they go back again. They say, just call the judge. Jason says, exactly what you want. Exactly. Then Eleanor says, let's go to separate rooms. I'm serious about this. Even for Michael, he says, oh, yeah, I'm playing along. She goes, no, I am going to separate you till I figure this out. Then we cut to commercial. Eleanor says, all right, buttheads, what do we do? This is Jason, Tahani, and Janet. Jason says, we got to trust Michael. And they say, okay, might be. And then Tahani says, this is a classic Mary-Kate Olsen situation. Eleanor kind of sees both sides. Kind of no helpful solution. They're in the bedroom upstairs, which is Derek's there. Upstairs, Derek. When he plays upstairs, downstairs, Derek. He's in a white tuxedo, with white on white tux. And Jason, you know, says, hit the road, Joker. He says, I've been rebooted so many times, I've evolved past jealousy. And then there's a bunch of good jokes, and then he says, have fun with the dipe life, which is just funny the way he says it. Michael says, I am Michael. I did see the suit. He told me, I think it was last season, he said, yeah, he would use it to get to you guys. Not make it... And then Eleanor says, wait a second, were you lying when you said I was going to be a great leader? He goes, yeah, but that was like an inspirational lie. And then she goes, okay, so to recap, you lied and then you lied again. And then you lied when there was no reason to lie. Why should we believe you? Any reasons other than your lies, something like that. And then she says, Janet, can you make a lie detector? Let's see what else happens. Under stress, and Daisy get Glenn drunk. I'll try. I touched the dang diaper. Michael calls from the other room. Then we're in Mindy's office, which I'm going to pause it when we get there, which is a few minutes. Derek's just patted Jason's back. Now he's going to say, have fun with the diaper life. And it actually has wind chimes on it. You get to see Mindy's bedroom. I think it's Mindy's bedroom, which like, kind of like the rest of Mindy's house, with probably some cool secrets tucked in there somewhere. Well, Michael's pocket square is red, like, what is that, gingham or whatever it's called? He's just saying, come on, we, you know, this is where they're going through the lies and stuff. Some good acting, because Tahani and Jason are just having to kind of look on and follow it, which is always good when it's on mute, because you can kind of pay attention to that stuff. Eleanor's doing a lot of moving. Tahani's doing a lot of subtle nodding. Jason's pensively standing, following along. And saying, oh, yeah, no, that was what that line was for. You know, now Eleanor's in disbelief as Michael stands and kind of faces her. She stares him down. She breathes through her nose. And she says, okay, well, we'll figure all this out. As you know, even the parts of Scoots' handwriting can't read. I just saw some hand puppets. Derek's back in the room. Michael's mind is blown. Now this is where they're kind of trying to figure stuff out. Back with the Soul Squad. Should we get Glenn drunk? Can we make a lie detector? But you know, Janet's got a lot going on. Under a lot of stress, as she says. And Daisy means Daisy the pony. I forgot about that part till now. So she was like, I had to deal with Daisy the pony too. So we got that going. So she heads off to work on that. Michael yells, now we're going to go to Mindy's office at 10:26 here. And I'm going to pause it. She has a sofa in her office. Glenn is sitting at her desk. On her desk is some flowers, a gray desk blotter, a pink dish with three eggs, very fancily decorated. Like, I wouldn't say dyed eggs, but something fancy. Then a crystal ball, but not like a crystal ball. It has facets to it, so some sort of glass ball. And then some like sort of like a piece of material that it seems like you'd hang a plant from. Then behind to the right is bookshelves, a globe, something made of like marble. And then something that looks like you'd bake bread in it or something. A strange cabinet. And then on the left is like a strange painting that you'd see in a tourist office. It looks like New York City or Times Square. It's like a backlit, almost blacklit, backlit painting. And Glenn's talking. So I just wanted to catch that. Just like Linda, when you... just like when you sent Linda, kind of Eleanor saying we busted him. He goes, no, that was our plan. His name's Chris. And we used him to do a switcheroo. First he says, Chris and Sean was celebrated. Jason says, is that what you want us to think? Oh, he says, is that what you used to do a switcheroo? I don't know. We're seeing everybody celebrate right now. Glenn's kind of doesn't get it. Then they say, let's just take the suit off. They go, no, you can only voluntarily take your suit off. Eleanor says, so be it. So she says, Michael, can take your suit off. He goes, I can't. I'm sorry. And she goes, this is a really beautiful, scene. I mean, we'll see what in the larger scope of the story. But he says, geez, I don't want to show you what's really underneath. This is just something we all deal with. So I just think somehow talking about it in an open way makes it more subtle. I don't know. And then he says, I'm a fire squid down deep. Jesus, that's dope. He goes, no, I'm 6,000 feet tall. I got tentacles, a long neck, and juice, so much juice. And Jesus says, I think I speak for everyone when I say I really have to see this. But, he says, I don't want to, you won't want to be friends with me. You'll never look at me the same way again. Because they say that's convenient that don't want to change. He says, I think he even says mortifying. More than that or mortifying than that, you'll never look at me the same way again. I won't be Michael. I'll be some disgusting mass of tentacles. You wouldn't want to be friends with just something like that. Jason says yes. Keep saying that. Then Janet pops in. She has a lie detector ready. So they say, okay, Glenn, Glenn, give us your real name. He says kind of his real name. Or as he starts to say it, he goes, oh, the name of my certificate is Glenn. And as he starts, he changes into a blue goo, which weird is like Michael raises his hands at that point and everybody's covered in blue goo. It goes to an ad. Then we come back from that. They say, don't worry, Glenn will slowly reform and go through the stages of being a demon, larva slug, a spooky tween, then a teen boy, then a ball of tongues, then a social media CEO. And they say, Jesus, worked out perfectly. We're all good. And Ellen goes, no, we're not all good. I'm going for a walk to figure this out. So she goes for a walk. She comes across Chidi, who's on the sofa where they played Pictionary drawing. And she goes, geez, are you okay? And Chidi goes, yeah, I'm just practicing drawing like viable horses, you know, that aren't, it's just funny. And she goes, you know, I know this mood of yours. And there's like a brief beat there where she says, you know, because I studied you or whatever. And she goes, this is time for you to take a break and get some food. Then we cut back and Janet is putting the Glen goo into an aquarium. And she goes, well, I'm done. A steaming pile of Glen. Jason stands and he's holding a word search. He goes, you want some help putting things back together? He goes, you just finish this. It's just a good word search joke. But he basically says, geez, like, I'm here for you, you know, to talk. She goes, thanks, Jason. And then they have a big hug. But I guess I'd have to rewatch it again to see. Then we go back to Chidi and Eleanor. There's a giant plate of nachos. Eleanor says, geez, nachos are like the number one human food. And he goes, really? And she goes, yeah, they're easy, salty, crunchy, cheesy. They get a little kick. The best human things. Chidi says, what about the Sistine Chapel? And she goes, you know, and then she goes, listen, man, don't stay up all night drawing horses. And he goes, I want to make the world a better, you know, I want to make things better. And she goes, making yourself miserable to ease the suffering of others is about the most cheaty thing you can do. And then she says, see you later. It's just a little weird echo coming up that I couldn't quite, it threw me off. But because she says, the most cheaty thing you can do. Then he says, do you want to take the rest of these nachos? She goes, yeah. So then she walks into Mindy's, the plate of nachos is now empty. And she goes, all right, here's where I'm at. Michael, I don't know if I can trust you. I'm going to call the judge. You know, we won't have Chidi to work, you know, but he will be back on our side again. And then they're like, well, starting over just sounds exhausting. And she goes, well, I have to start over. And, you know, because there's no way to figure out if Michael's real or not. And then, you know, if he's messing things up or not. Michael says, well, I have a better idea. I'll just goo myself. That's the only way. Then I'll see you all in a few months. Just get me in a container. And then he goes, take it sleazy. And he gets ready to do it. And then Jason says, Michael, wait. And then he puts furry handcuffs on Janet, which is actually the place I worked when I sold Fuzzy Dice also sold those. So that's interesting. Then as soon as he puts the furry cuffs on Janet, she turns into bad Janet. She says, crud nuts. And then there's an ad. We come back. They say, geez, how'd you know? And Michael said, there's nothing he could say, you know, to make things right. And they say, what? And he goes, here's the thing. I called Janet girl. And she didn't say not a girl. And they go, oh, wow. So then they ask Bad Janet, how'd you pull it off? She says, well, we had two Bad Janets. So she goes, I distracted Janet and another Bad Janet. You know, oh, no, wait. When Janet was putting Chris down, she goes, I marbleized Janet. And then the other Bad Janet pretended she was Janet. Or she pretended she was Janet. Whatever, you know, the other Bad Janet helped. And had you fart knockers fooled till Glenn the traitor and Glenn bubbles. And they say, well, geez, Bad Janets can't impersonate a good Janet. And she goes, well, Sean rebooted me 40 million times. And it says, oh, dip. Janet didn't dump me, Jason says. And they say, it all makes sense. And she goes, yeah, I was going to make Tahani give herself an asymmetrical haircut next. And then Michael says, you still didn't know, you don't know it's me. And Eleanor says, your offer to sacrifice yourself is about the most Michael thing you can do. And then they say, well, where's the bad, where's the good, real Janet? And they say, in the bad place. And then Jason says, well, like, I can't deal with that. They say, what should we do? Jason says, well, Sean's a bully. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to get Janet back. I think he says dope. And then they say, what's the plan? Or no, he says, what's the plan? And then Michael pats his back. He said, great plan. He goes, what's the plan? Then we are at the train station. And this was an interesting scene. They have a can of Glenn. They have Glenn in a like water cooler can. Jason is suave AF. He's in a suit. His hair's combed. They say, geez, we'll just try to go down there. Michael's in like a, what is that called? A trench coat. He goes, we'll just have to go down there and do our best. We'll just try our best. And then this was so cute. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it except for cute writing. I mean, I don't mean in the negative way. I mean, in the positive way. Michael says, let's go get our girl. And then Jason says, not a girl. I mean, that really says they're truly in love to me. And that was the end of the episode. So hope you enjoyed those. Here's some thank yous. And yeah, let me do, what should I do with the covers on your feet? Okay, I got it. I'll take care of it like that. Okay, got it. All right. I wanted to thank everybody that commented on CastBox and YouTube. But now I have to look up... CastBox searching comments. Someone asked why is the intro so long, so they must not have liked it. Someone else can't even make out the words they're saying. Okay, so that's another. Then someone has, ain't no party like a census party, and the census party don't stop. That was Chad, I think. Then Chad P said, you know, my cats like to jump in bed when the mystery bard sings. And a couple other people commented on that because they liked that comment. I want to thank, everybody thankful. Daniel said, love this one. This was the latest Pop and Mop episode. Thania said she can't even last for 10 minutes with that episode. DeAndre says, puts you to sleep. I can't even make it through. I don't even know what you're talking about. Sawyer agrees in a good way. Stephanie wound away in disliking the podcast. Chad always sleeps better with it in the phone. Matt, so like, people are very honest on here. Matt said that was awful. But I guess I think sometimes people think we're getting paid for it, paid for the listens or two. So then they get extra mad. Like, I'm going to unsubscribe, but yeah, it's free. So, stutter. Someone didn't like the stutter on one of them, but the podcast still helps them in general. Taylor was a new listener. They liked it. Wow, this is like a bit like YouTube. Then John weighed in a different way. Eric weighed in positively, and Archie, the podcast helps him. Intro, they learned a lot about, oh, they liked the Australia Sleepy Slang Tour. Sanders slept for 30 minutes. Jasmine with a Z really fell asleep deeply. And then Mary B said, hey, here's how you set a sleep timer. Good old Manny T commented. Manny T's a regular commenter on how the podcast helps. Gemstone, they said, I fell asleep really fast. Jenny fell asleep, has been sleeping to the podcast for years. Jenny with a Y. Betsy likes listening, Bessie, falls asleep to it and started running for it. That's actually funny because that's one of the inspirations for the podcast for me is like, before I started making the podcast, I would listen to podcasts because I don't enjoy running, but it was tolerable when I would listen to a podcast because we'd be distracted. Like, I'd have the thoughts in my head and the podcast and then running. So I wouldn't have my thoughts about running. And so that was always helpful for me. So I agree, like, that it's like, okay, then I can either have my internal monologue going or listen to a podcast. But I don't have my internal monologue going about, or I'm not focused on the running part. I mean, I'm focused on, you know, where I'm going and stuff, but not how much I loathe running. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for sharing about the podcast on CastBox. Really appreciate it. Those positive comments were really a boost. Can be humbling, though, YouTube and now CastBox to go on there. Holy moly. But that's great because people get to express their honest opinion. That's actually how the podcast grows, and it doesn't work for everybody. I mean, that's just a natural thing. So if it does work for you or there's any other podcasts in the world you love, please let people know about them. That's really the only in the U.S., only 50% of people listen to a podcast at all. And growing that number is going to help everybody because you say, well, geez, when you find podcasts you love, it just makes your life richer. In this case, it hopefully helps you fall asleep too. So if you can, let someone know about the podcast. I'm going to let you know about a podcast from Night Vale Presents right now. Take it away, Scoots. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday. of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another postie, Super Deluxe, came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.